And welcome to the February 2nd edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer your questions. In the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls, Mac guru Joel Brovelite is here. Hey, Joel.
Hey.
It is great to have you on board again today in this lovely city.
It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Also, to my right, John T. Meyer, Lemonly.
Hello, hello.
How's things in the infographic world?
Good. We're busy. Just keep trucking along, telling stories, and learning a lot about random things, from robotic AI arms to smart manufacturing to hotels in California.
Wow.
A little bit of everything.
Disrupted anything lately?
That's such a buzzword. No.
Yeah, I read a report this morning.
My two-year-old disrupts my sleep schedule. I guess that.
Yeah, I have a dog that's that way. Read a report, and it asked a wide swath of people about AI and if they felt that it was going to take over their jobs basically in the future.
Sure.
and whose responsibility would that be to pick up the pieces, and there was some interesting, you know, I think they worded the questions, you know, a little bit loaded, but I think there's a prevailing thought out there that AI is going to kind of take things over. Is that what you think?
I think it's absolutely going to eliminate jobs. I think it also will create jobs. I don't know what the net, you know, plus or minus, probably a little bit on the minus. But I do think, I think some of the fears are a little overblown, but I think it's something that needs to be discussed, because I think we're not, I think it's either going to have to, you have to be it's a knowledge worker job where the AI still needs to be trained, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
like you still have to, they need the person, the human, to get smarter and learn as they go. But yeah, I think the scarier ones are probably like, you know, cab drivers, truck drivers, things like that, where if they can figure out this autonomous vehicle stuff, that would just be a big efficiency for those companies, but it certainly would put some people out of work.
How long is this going to take? How long do you think this is going to take? What's the arc on this? Because what we're talking about here is either retraining a bunch of people to do something else, or
yeah.
it's just going to kind of be natural. You're going to get some people coming into the workforce, and they're going to kind of know how to do this.
I always think, like, I have a two-year-old daughter, and I think if we lived in a bigger metro area, I'd feel comfortable saying that she would never own a car. Now, that's just not just because AI, but between Uber, Lyft, public transportation, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
In South Dakota, I'm a little less convinced to say that, just because I would imagine that trend will be a little slower to adopt here. But I think we're talking 15 to 20 years for some of those jobs to probably start to disappear. I mean, it's probably starting in 10 or less.
Okay.
But I think as far as a full, you think, yeah,
Joel?
Less?
Definitely less, for you'll see semis that are driving themselves, and absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. Tesla came out with unveiled, I think it's a few years away from hitting the roads, but their own truck. And so that's still driver, I think it's still driver controlled. But I was talking to a friend, an entrepreneur in Utah the other day, and he has a Tesla, and it's got the AI kind of self-driving feature, which isn't full time. He said, I have to touch the steering wheel every 90 seconds so the car knows that you're there. But he kind of sheepishly admitted that he's sometimes on the interstate in Utah, watch Netflix and let the car just drive.
Hmm. So is South Dakota the perfect place for driverless semis, or the worst place, given the stretches, you know?
I don't know. I drove to Grand Forks last week, and after I got past Brookings, I don't know if I really even passed a car. So maybe Grand Forks in January, I think, would be a perfect place.
All right. Also joining us today, Amos Asop from Exigent. Hello, Amos.
Hello.
Good to have you on board. Have things calmed down since our last show?
Things have calmed down, yep. The world is not quite as crazy. We're still dealing with the fallout of the issues we had before, the meltdown and Spectre issues. Unfortunately, some of the quick wins, quick fixes that we had for that were not so good and caused some other issues. So some of the vendors are pulling that stuff back, and so it's still an issue out there. And I was just reading this morning that there are a number of botnets that are starting to exploit the Meltdown and Spectre vulnerability. So I can see there being a maybe a little haste from here on out to get things fixed in a proper manner.
Can you help me with this one? How are the botnets exploiting? Those were kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, the exploits in Spectre and Meltdown had to do with sort of programs spying on other programs, sort of in the via the chip, right? It was they're able to intercept what's going on, the communication, and possibly get passwords and things.
So there's two areas in the CPU where it utilizes memory that's within that device itself, and there's supposed to be segregation between what's considered kernel memory and what's considered user memory, so that the important stuff can't get spied on, and users can't see what they're not supposed to see. Well, the problem is that in some respects that didn't work like it was supposed to. There is some ways to get access to some of the information that you're not supposed to have access to. It's a slow and tedious process in order to gain any information out of it. And generally what you're going to find will be things like passwords and information that will allow you then to take another step forward somewhere else in order to do some damage. This isn't like the typical ransomware where it encrypts all of your information, or you gain access to healthcare information records directly. This is just another vector that allows you to find some information that allows you to put those pieces of the puzzle together and eventually do some damage down the road.
Okay. Jeff Lindrick is also with us from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Pierre. Jeffrey, how's the legislative session going for you? Are you feeling better?
It's been a pretty quiet session outside the weather, deciding if it wants to either be warm or cold, and every single hour making a different decision. Otherwise, pretty quiet session so far. We're dealing with the Spectre Meltdown stuff. A lot of programs need to be updated before even newer Microsoft patches come out or stuff breaks. So, actually, Microsoft has now disabled the Intel patches, so because they were causing issues. So, it's getting a little bit quieter, mainly because really everyone's pulling back a lot of their patches and just trying to rethink this. The only big announcement on that is Intel will announce has announced that they will have fixes actually in hardware and silicon, but next year. The CPUs will come out late this year. You'll be able to buy them next year. For the ultimate fix with no performance hit, you'll have to kind of wait until next year. I had a couple of friends who updated their home servers and stuff, and it was kind of a complete disaster in that their CPUs went from 10% to 100% and just stuck there. So they had rollback patches and stuff too. So it affects different people in different ways. So this one's going to be with us for a little while, but hopefully it kind of quiets down a bit. So
it was actually running the CPU pretty much at full bore. I got the impression what they were saying the patches were going to do was slow down your machine by 3 to 5, or up to if you want to talk to some of the people, they're saying up to 50%. But
what actually happens is, because of the way programs run, the CPU has to take longer to switch between programs, because the CPU is running all your programs kind of one by one, just really fast behind the scenes. And because of the changes, it takes longer to switch. And that actually does what you will see is your CPU will be much higher utilization, because it's in kind of a wait mode while it's switching this internal memory in and out. So the end result is it's slower, and your CPU will be at 100%, showing you it's slower. So your utilization will show up as going up too, as part of this package. This is kind of the nature of the way it works. So.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that. If Amos, have you seen any slowdowns in processors or processes? I guess processors would be running apparently the same speed, but more of.
We haven't had any instances where we have. We've been pretty judicious about it too, though. We haven't had any instances where it's caused us issues that we had that were impacting enough to undo it. But we've also been pretty cautious as to the patches that we've applied. And like we said, some of those are being rolled back. So we're kind of taking a wait and see approach to see what the next idea how to fix this comes down the road. And you know, with the new CPUs that are coming out that'll be available next year that have this problem fixed, and it's the you know, full blown legitimate fix, very few people are going to go out and buy a new CPU and replace what they have. You know, businesses might, but there's certainly going to be a lot of those left around for quite a long time.
Okay. Well, folks, we'd like to ask you to ask the questions as well. We'll try to provide the answers. If you're a Facebook person, that page is simply facebook.com/techradio. You may post your comments or questions there. Don't be shy. Our phone number is 1-800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. Twitter users, of course, can shoot me a note at KentSTPB. The email address, inthemoment@stpb.org, probably the most popular, inthemoment@stpb.org. And one of the up-and-comers, I would say, is our text number, 956-STPB. That's 956-7372.
Up-and-coming text messaging.
I'll tell you.
Groundbreaking.
Well, okay, for the broadcaster, opening that up for folks to send questions and comments to panelists live. On a night like South Dakota Focus with Stephanie Ressler on a Thursday night, my phone goes crazy with text messages. It seems to be more over than emails.
Well, I believe it. Yeah, for sure.
And
it's groundbreaking.
Well, it is. I mean, it kind of is.
Sure.
You know, for us slow broadcasters, I guess, slow to take on tech, maybe. I don't know. 956-STPB, 956-7372 is a way to shoot a text message to us here. Of course, Facebook, facebook.com/techradio. We did talk about Facebook just briefly before the show.
Yeah.
Have you noticed a big difference in your news feed? For the positive or for the negative? I guess on the personal note.
Sure. So since they changed, they said they would be putting more emphasis on people you know, friends and family versus pages, which isn't really an entirely, I mean, it's not a huge surprise. They of course want pages, of course, to spend. And in the advertising marketing world, the kind of prevailing theme is if you want people to see your stuff, you're going to have to, it's pay to play at this point, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So as a user, I think it's a good thing. I would rather see posts from friends and family. But what was interesting, you know, that news I think is still fairly fresh, and I'm not sure if anyone could really say they've noticed a different experience in their Facebook newsfeed. But some data came out, was it just this week, Amos, last week?
About. Yeah, just earlier this week.
What did you say? So the Q4 of 17, users spent 50 million hours less on Facebook
per day.
50 right. million.
Right.
Yet revenue for Facebook was at its all-time high. Like they were, they're making billions of dollars in Q4, I saw. But that's that type of stuff is concerning to those tech companies. Those are the most important metrics. It's, you know, users is great, but the daily active users, monthly active users, the stuff that they want to see. And certainly Facebook crushes the daily active users. It's something like, I don't want to just guess, but it's 25% of the world goes on Facebook every day.
Yeah. And, you know, if you listen to Mark Zuckerberg, though, when they were talking about it, it was kind of a we meant to do that kind of thing explanation. You know, he was talking about how we're making changes to our algorithm to try to combat the news sources that are coming from, nefarious places and getting more personal information up there. And in theory, just giving you a more streamlined experience, which I guess could equate to fewer minutes on your eyeballs on the Facebook every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and apparently 2 less minutes a day per user.
Yeah.
Equates to 50 million crazy. Hours a
right.
day.
Yeah. I was just looking here. It says that that total user growth was up 14% over last year to 2.13 billion users. That's
it's about a third of the world is on Facebook, and something like a quarter of the world actually uses it every day.
Yeah.
Does Facebook have the problem Twitter has with the fake accounts and the bots and things?
Well, no, because so what people want Twitter to do is from day one, Zuckerberg said with Facebook is you have to have a name. You have to have an identity or a sole person. You know, some people kind of got around it before Facebook pages existed. Say, I'm trying to think of someone. Like I remember, I think Sioux Falls Canaries had a personal page where it's like first name Sioux Falls, last name Canaries type of thing, which okay. Facebook kind of couldn't quite detect that and slipped through. But now, yeah, you're supposed to have an identity, whereas Twitter, as long as you had an email address, you could create a Twitter account. And so that's why you had a lot of bots and you had a lot of scammy, you know, abuse. So that's something Twitter needs to clean up. Facebook hasn't seemed to have that issue.
I will mention this.
Facebook is strict about personal accounts versus business and stuff. I had to help a club that suddenly Facebook found out that they were trying to use a personal page to host a club, and Facebook basically deactivated his account, deleted everything, told him, nope, bye, and not even gave him an explanation why. I had to go and help him. So they are strict about that. You need to set stuff up properly nowadays.
One thing I'm seeing a lot of, because of that signal-to-noise ratio and people not seeing all the messages from the pages that they like, seeing a lot of groups being people utilizing the groups feature, so both brands and just more so communities, clubs type of things like Jeff's talking about. So you create a Facebook group where then you can have it so every single time they post, you see it or you get a notification. So I'm seeing more of those. You know, we have a popular one in Sioux Falls called the Sioux Falls Entrepreneurs. There's a couple thousand people in that group, and it's a very active community there. But yeah, it's interesting. I've also been seeing more articles and stuff in my feed about people who are trying to really combat what social media in general, I won't say just Facebook, but what social media does to our brains, right? So I've been seeing people, one hack that a lot of folks do on iPhone is they turn the accessibility of their screen, they turn it gray. So they actually make your whole phone screen becomes gray, which makes it much less, it becomes more of like a device and less of a toy, right? When you look at your iPhone, there's all these bright colors and it's exciting and attractive. And so some people are saying, I did that and I use my phone way less. I've seen people say, I deleted the Facebook app and now I only check it on my desktop at work, you know, once a day, and then I don't check it, you know, 10 times a day like I currently do. So I don't know if some of that has to contribute with this less time as well. As people are kind of fighting back a little bit on their social media addiction, maybe that's just a January, you know, 2018 resolution type of thing, but that's something to watch as well.
I've seen my newsfeed get a little bit toxic in the last few days.
And the State of Union, or?
That was part of it, and I think the big buildup to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And there's been a number of things, and I've found myself saying, you know, I'm going to step back from this. So my indulgence is getting into Twitter and really digging through things because it's fun. But even that to a point, you have to sometimes back up, take a big breath, go take the dog for a walk.
Absolutely.
And sort of examine things. And yeah, it's interesting how the change in the news feed is happening. So it seems to me I'm seeing people reposting things rather than seeing those I don't want to say companies, but
sure,
less I'm seeing less noise in there, or the noise I'm seeing are people taking the initiative to either share them with me or make their own to support certain ideas and beliefs.
There's probably a whole week of us Vikings fans mourning and complaining about Eagles fans and all that type of stuff. So I'm
glad
that's done.
I saw a little of that. Yeah. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to put a wrap up on this this bot purge on Twitter and continue on with the show. Folks, again, the number to get a hold of us is 1-800-524-3604 is the email address. 956-7372 or 956-SDPB is the number where you can text us. And in the moment at sdpb.org is where you can email us. We'll be right back after this. You are in the moment on SDPB Radio. I'm Kent Osborne, and we're talking tech with the computer guys. We have John T. Meyer from Lemonly, Joel Brovelite, our Mac guru, Amos Asip from Exigent, and from the Bureau and Peer, Jeff Litterick, on board to answer your questions. You guys got your taxes done yet?
Oh, no. Not yet.
Yeah, I think the stuff from your employer was due, like, 2 days ago, so
yes,
everybody's just got them in
those
hand.
Those 1099.
Oh, I've been getting emails for quite a while.
Yeah, I'm saying the deadline was 2 days.
The deadline
ago,
was,
so,
yeah.
So
yeah.
You should have gotten everything by now.
There's some, I'm missing some documentation yet, so it's not for my employer, but other documentation.
School loan type interest stuff and things like that.
Investment stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was supposed to be done, but I haven't seen. So. Yeah.
I actually have. I got my taxes done, and wow. I try to get them done as soon as I get all the documentation because of all the fraud going on, and with Equinix this year. The IRS is expecting a big increase in fake returns. So I try to get mine in. I wait for the documentation, make sure it's all legitimate. But once it's there, usually that same day, my taxes are done. So I get in before other fraudsters try to hijack my identity.
I was trying to see if the IRS was inferring that in a couple of emails I got, which was get these done sooner than later, and you'll avoid the rush of people trying to submit fake returns in your name.
I also noticed this year they actually it's passed now, but they actually had a hold on all electronic forms where you could submit it, but it wasn't until end of January they would actually start processing them to make sure all the legitimate data went out. I think it was to block people from just making up W-2s, which they've had in the past. And this way they know they've had all the data for their deadline from the company sending the W-2 so that they can double-check everything. Because they weren't actually processing any forms until January 29th this year, which is it's kind of different. It's not something they'd done in previous years. You could submit, but they weren't going to process it until they could check it against the real W-2s from the companies on January 29th. So,
right. So any tips for folks? I think we've covered those over the years, and it's all been pretty ubiquitous in the last few years. People aren't downloading clients and losing data when their modem disconnects. I mean, everything's we've kind of smoothed out in the
And I've noticed the advertising for the free tax filings has really gone up. There's the John Hamm has been in a number of what look to be commercials for something else.
Yeah, CHR Block or which one?
Is that what it is?
I think
yeah. Not doing a very good job of getting the name across. I knew it was for some tax, but the free stuff there, and so lots of options for people to do that. Whether you're doing it yourself with something like a TurboTax or QuickBooks, Quicken, maybe I'm not sure which one of those, and then H&R Block, just a lot of free.
Yeah, anybody who makes I think less than 50,000, or I can't remember what the cutoff is, can file for free, and there's lots of free options. Unfortunately, only about 1% of the people that are eligible to file for free because they don't really want you to file for free. All those companies that make that free software, so they make it really difficult.
Yeah.
But yes, you definitely can if you want to.
And I think it's only the federal one, right? Not the state?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will mention, because I file through the free stuff, this year I saw a lot more tricks to try to upsell you than previous years where I was kept saying, no, I do not need fraud protection. No, I do not need a certified person to go over and review it and all that stuff. So I was kind of seeing that. In years previous, there's always an upsell. Hey, if you pay, we can get you a better discount through more itemized deductions, stuff like that. But this year, there were a lot more upsells going on the free website stuff.
And also be careful of the. I'm not sure what the deal was. I helped a sibling of mine file, and it was if you let us give you an Amazon gift card, we'll give you 5% extra back on your tax return. And it's appealing, but man, you really want that cash and an Amazon gift card? I'm not sure.
I think there's a lot of people in this boat now, and it's going to be even more and more with the more people who have side hustles and their own kind of businesses, whether it be full time or part time. I pay a CPA to do mine because with owning a business and having a K-1, and it's just pretty messy. But I think that I'm curious how the software does that, because now there's so many people who are making side income on from different.
Just think of all the new
gigs.
Lyft users here in the state.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, how does that work?
And how does that work? We'll have to ask that question.
So I think
plenty of time before tax
doing taxes have gotten more complicated. Hopefully the software makes it easier. But
I thought it got simpler, right? That was we're getting to do it on a postcard right now. Is that right?
It's supposed to be
right.
Are we getting paid for this?
That's what I thought.
All right. Well, let's move on. Again, for folks that would like to ask a question today or have us comment on something, 956-SDPB is the number you can text us at. In the moment at sdpb.org is the email address we monitor regularly, and the computer guys will help try to help you today. couple of quick notes. J.P. Morgan, Berkshire Hathaway, Amazon, teaming up to maybe do some healthcare.
Yeah, was that the? I think I saw that earlier this week. That was announced. Pretty much a PR kind of tease at this point. Not a lot of details, but some brilliant minds. You have Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett, and I'm not convinced yet on Jamie Dimon. He's kind of like he hit a lot of FUD about Bitcoin and blockchain earlier in the year, and then ended up buying a bunch when it was down. But
that's the time to buy it. You know,
well, he created it like by making it go down. I think some really smart people with lots of resources have realized what a lot of us know, which is healthcare is broken, and then we need to find ways to make it more accessible and just more practical. And so I think I saw combined those three companies of Amazon, Berkshire, and JP Morgan employ about 950,000 people, so just under 1 million people between those companies. So they have a incentive to find out a way to create healthcare for their own employees, and so that's what they're going to start first. But certainly, Amazon, like, if you are in business, Amazon is your competition. Like, I'm just convinced at that point. Like, they are coming for every market and every industry. You know, we are a design services company. Somehow they'll find a way to become our competition. So that's a side conversation. But I'm not surprised that Amazon's creating a healthcare company.
Yeah, I think it's a smart move. That the healthcare market is dying for real competition and real disruption, as it were. I didn't even think of that.
I didn't look at it on the flip side of things with all their employees, and it's like around 950,000 people.
Yeah, savings.
Even just making a pool of that, and then that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they'll start with those three companies, and if they figure out a solution that works for nearly 1 million employees, soon to be, once Amazon keeps growing. So even if they don't figure out how to offer it to the rest of us,
I think what they're planning is pretty obvious. I mean, they've got that many employees, they just don't have an insurance company anymore. If you're that big, you can just throw all the money in a big pot and it works just like insurance. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the obvious plan. And then build from there online.
I mean, Buffett has said for years, not this isn't a political statement, but just how healthcare in general, not just insurance, but even the healthcare providers is, I think he uses the term, it's like a tapeworm on the American economy. And so he's got his strong feelings about where that's at as well.
Right. Well, we'd love to see where this is going.
Yeah, it's kind of a TBD to watch. Not sure what it's going to look like yet, but certainly interesting headline to read.
Okay. Well, we'll follow that and move along to our next topic. Did you get in on the Boring Company? Did you get your flamethrower pre-ordered?
I did not buy a $5,000 flamethrower.
I thought it was $500.
Or $500, sorry. Yeah, you're right. They sold $20,000. So they made $10 million on, revenue on flamethrowers.
Because, of course, they did.
Because they could, right? Why they did it.
Because it's a flamethrower.
Elon Musk put out an Instagram, and there they go.
You should probably explain what it is. Maybe.
Yeah, go for it.
You go ahead.
Can you please explain what this is?
Let's rewind back to the Boring Company. One of my employees does have the hat, which is funny. So probably about a year ago or so, Elon Musk tweets, basically he's sick of traffic and he wants to find a way to create to ease traffic in Los Angeles. And so he said, I'm going to start a company. We're going to bore holes into the ground so that we create essentially like another layer of roads so that traffic can ease. And it's going to be called the Boring Company. And everyone's like, aha, that's funny. That's a great tweet. And of course, Elon Musk is crazy enough that he just went out and did it. And so they are working on this technology and trying to figure out how to be able to bore holes underground and create other alternate lanes of traffic. And then I haven't read the connection to the flame. They don't use flamethrowers to create these tunnels, do they?
No.
No.
They just decided they were cool.
I think he saw a loophole in the weapons laws, basically.
And wanted to maybe illuminate that.
Right.
And it's really more of a glorified torch. You know, it doesn't shoot gel out that, you know, clings to things and is on fire. It's like a propane torch.
It's like the thing you use to start your grill, but
right.
10 times bigger.
But bigger, much bigger, absolutely. And it's pretty cool. I also did not pick up
one. And they're sending a fire extinguisher with it, I think?
You could purchase a fire extinguisher with it.
That's added.
At some exorbitant price.
Very expensive fire extinguisher.
Right, yeah. But why not? Because it was right there.
I suggest you get the fire extinguisher.
So he said, you know, like, this is a bad idea. Don't buy these. But they're unless you hate fun or something like that. He had an Instagram of him holding this flamethrower.
Well, he's dancing with it. I mean, he's with glee.
Created urgency because there's only going to be a set amount, and he kept tweeting, you know.
Man, you should go check it out online. We've given that enough time.
So your chances of getting this any better than getting a car from it?
I think STPB should probably have one just in case.
Just a flamethrower. We may need to thaw out a transmitter site or something, I think.
I don't know. Snow, like it could be a new way to shovel.
Is this so a lot of the pundits are saying, well, this is a way to deflect, you know, you can't deliver the cars. I waited in line for this car and I'm still waiting. Sure. Where's the car? And now you're making flamethrowers.
They still are very, I mean, yeah, that's on the Tesla side, but they're still very far behind in production. Yes.
All right. We're going to leave.
That's a good problem. I want to talk to someone. I wonder if anyone in Sioux Falls yet has the shingles. So Tesla made these.
It's the roof. Solar company, Solar City.
Solar City is making these shingles you put on your roof that are supposed to not only do they look probably better, but they are like mini solar panels, but durable, just like we have on our roofs. And they're supposed to last longer, be more efficient. And so I'd be curious if anyone in our, I guess not just Sioux Falls, but in the listening area.
Do the numbers crunch out on those when they, the payoff over years for electricity?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but...
They are very much more durable. In fact, you can get insurance breaks. Some housing insurance companies will give you massive breaks on stuff if you have those, especially when they're new, because they will last a lot. They last almost as long as a metal roof versus, you know, the traditional roof. So,
All right. We'll look into that. Maybe after this break. We need to take another quick break. Times are rolling on, and so does the show, believe it or not. And again, folks, if you'd like to get in on the discussion, the number is 1-800-524-3604. Twitter users can send your questions to me at KentSDPB and the email address inthemoment@sdpb.org. We're back in the moment on SDPB Radio. I'm Kent Osborne, joined by Amos Aesop and Jeff Litterick, Joel Brovelite this afternoon. We're talking tech, and we have a listener that's left us a message on Facebook. Amos, you want to tell us about that?
Well, here's an interesting coincidence. When I clicked on it to go to it, it's taking a really long time to look. Oh, there it goes. The gist of the question was Gina asked about on the new Facebook. Mm-hmm. It seems like when I click on a story or page that a friend has shared, the link loads very slowly or not at all, just like mine did. Mine, I clicked on the link and it loaded very slowly. And she's asking if that's a coincidence. Since the changes have happened, things seem to be a little bit slower when she attempts to go to a story or a page that somebody has shared.
Does that seem likely to you, Joel?
It's certainly possible. You know, anytime there's an upgrade on any platform, there's usually a software update on their back end. So what I would recommend is, you know, either A, try it on a different web browser and see if you have the same problem. Likely you won't. Or B, update your browser or any, whether... you've got certain plugins or whatever that could be hindering that. Just update your browser. That'll probably take care of it. That's just usually what happens is they update something, so that causes issues with your setup. So it's probably a pretty straightforward fix.
Speaking of browsers, I did want to mention this today. The CEO of DuckDuckGo, you've heard of that? Mm-hmm. Have you ever used this product? He came out kind of with all guns blazing this week. I guess wanting to tell people that how bad the websites are tracking you, and this is wrong, and they need to stop this, and of course use my browser. But he was kind of bringing awareness to some privacy practices that
search engine doesn't make a browser.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, search engine.
Yeah,
I misspoke there, but. What do you make of this?
Well, DuckDuckGo has been around for a while, and they've always, you know, been kind of a privacy. We're not tracking. We're not going to leave any cookies. If you come back to us and, you know, search for something, we're not going to remember what it was from the last time. We're not going to share it with third parties, et cetera. And yet you still get, I believe they're using the Google search engine actually in the background anyway. So you get the benefits of using Google, but you get the lack of privacy or the benefits of privacy by using the DuckDuckGo engine or interface. And that's a real thing. You know, I can't tell you how many times in the past month people have said to me, you know, I think my phone is listening to me, or I think all of these apps are interconnected because, and there's been stories that have made the national news as well, but people who will go to, you know, they're watching a TV show and they want to Google an actor's name, and they go in and they type in the first two letters of that actor's name, and up pops that actor's name without, you know, any prompting. And how does it know? How does it know that's what I was looking for with just two letters? And there's some things there. You know, there's been some testing where some people have said, you know, we've proved that the phone might be listening or Facebook might be listening. I think one of the examples was a couple that didn't have any cats, had no association with cats whatsoever. Tried for, I don't know if it was a couple hours or a couple of days, but they started talking about needing cat litter. And then cat litter ads started showing up in their Facebook feeds, even though it was not something that they've ever needed before or anything they've ever typed into their browsers before. So long way to get to. There are ways for these devices to kind of correlate. You know, if there's a TV show on, and it's a famous actor, and a lot of people start searching for that particular actor, that's going to rise to the top just because of the number of people across the internet who are searching for it. So,
and also, you know, especially in that one, because I actually take advantage of this a lot. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but if you're watching a TV movie and you Google it, it actually gives you all the times it's going to be on all your channels. They're actually correlating location data and your TV schedule, which they have access to on the back end, with what you're typing in. When I'm watching a movie and I start typing that movie, I get that movie and I also get a listing of all the times it's going to be on in the next week. They only know that in the correct channels because they're tying my location, i.e. peer, with my cable company and actually seeing that. So not all of it's, you know, listening, but there's a lot of back-end correlation going on. I actually use it to my advantage to find upcoming times for movies and other shows I want to watch when they're on TV. But, yeah, there's a lot of back-end correlation like that that actually it seems like it's listening to you, but that doesn't mean it's listening to you. It just knows that, hey, you're a Midco cable person, and here's the Midco TV schedule, and you know what? You tend to watch a lot of movies or look up movies. There's a movie on. Well, we'll give you the next times and stuff. It's kind of weird, but they're doing a lot of that kind of stuff also. I've been noticing that quite a bit recently.
Jeff, you're breaking up quite a bit, but I think we got the gist of what you're saying. I will tell you that just 2 days ago, I was standing in a coworker's cubicle, and we started, and she was kind of scanning through Facebook as we were talking, and because that's part of her job, by the way. And we talked about a local restaurant, and as she's scrolling, an ad for that restaurant came by her newsfeed. That was weird. And that's what these folks are talking about when they're saying this is sounding a little weird to me.
I haven't seen any evidence that any devices are actually recording audio to give you targeted ads. I've never seen any proof of that of any kind.
I've got anecdotal proof, but I don't have any.
Yeah,
proof.
That's just math. I mean, you live in an area. How many restaurants are in Vermilion? Less than 100. How many are going to advertise on Facebook?
Okay.
Less than 15. So,
absolutely.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's not true. Well,
but
I'm
supposed to be getting more
true.
Organic stuff. It's not supposed to be so
targeted. Oh, yeah. Would it were so? yeah.
It's always going to be somewhat targeted, like I said, on locations and activities and stuff. You know, to a certain start, if it is it, you never see ads you probably care about for new businesses in your town, for example, new food places opening up, like a Japanese place just opened up in Pier, and suddenly it was on the Facebook feed the day they opened. Well, you know, I don't even like sushi, and it's still up on my Facebook page, and no one was talking about it around me. It is, you know, it's going to try to figure out some targeted stuff no matter what.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do some more research into that. Maybe the cat litter thing is the way to go. I'm not sure.
But well, I mean, one thing is if you type something somewhere, whether that's in a chat or a search, that is something that is quote unquote listened to. I mean, there's no question about that. But you know, hijacking a microphone—that's a whole other thing. And spending resources to do text to you know, to interpret that audio, because it's certainly not a person sitting there listening. So that's a whole other thing.
And make no mistake, Google is watching what you're searching. I gave the example before. It shows you my show times. Well, I do a lot of searches for Wiki Movie, for the Wikipedia articles on different movies I watch. And nowadays, if I type in a generic name that could be anything like Crash, it always comes up with the movies first, because I tend to do a lot of searches for movies. I used to have to put movie at the end of a lot of titles. Now I don't. And that's just because it's learning my habits. So they are paying attention to what you're searching on, and then, you know, bringing those results up more. If you're a movie buff, TV buff, food buff, you know, those will come up more often than when you're doing generic terms than otherwise. But I don't think they're actually listening to you.
So they're trying to put some intelligence behind what's being shown to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And for the most, I guess, for most folks, they've accepted this. I guess my question is, and perhaps the DuckDuckGo CEO's question is, when does this need to stop? And
probably when you stop it, you know, by using a product that does that, or you know, when enough people, there's a critical mass of people that, you know, don't tolerate that, and the company is willing to figure out an alternative revenue stream for that. So,
and there are some other solutions coming out. In fact, Firefox just announced today, or was it yesterday, that they are actually putting even more blocks into their browser. A lot of people don't realize it, but when you have browser windows open, you're browsing between sites, between cookies and stuff, there's actually a lot of advertising information being shared in the background between these sites and between the advertising networks. Firefox, their next version, is going to put kind of a block to that and put very, very strict rules in what can pass from one site to another and how advertising cookies can be can track you. So some of the browser people are actually, you know, putting even more blocks into to protect your privacy. So it is coming along.
Okay. Joel, any particular iPhone news we want to talk about today?
Not sure about iPhone news, other than, you know, Apple put out earnings yesterday, so there's a lot of talk about that. It's also pretty boring. But next week, Friday, Apple's smart speaker, the HomePod, starts shipping to people.
Okay.
So we'll see how Apple does in the market with that. I'm pretty satisfied with my, I don't know, 19 Amazon Echoes or whatever. How many? I don't know if I have 19, but there's probably 12, maybe more. But, yeah, so we'll have to see how they do with the HomePod, which, again, is geared more towards music. I guess we'll see.
Is that it? Okay. Well, there's going to be three sizes?
There is just one right now.
Just one size. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the Google product that's got the
correct
the puck, the little bit bigger one, and then the
giant. They quickly rushed a HomePod-sized speaker to market when Apple announced theirs. So I guess we'll see.
All right.
If you're going to watch the Super Bowl this weekend, apparently there's a really good Amazon commercial, several Amazon commercials. So I guess we'll have to check that out.
Okay. iPhone production being cut?
Yeah, you know, I did a little research in that in the first half of the show. Apparently, that's quite overblown. The deal is Apple, I'll try and make this really short. There's a lot of stories saying Apple's iPhone sales are lower than they were last year. Turns out there was one fewer week this year than there was last year in the earnings. So 4 weeks versus 5 weeks makes a big difference on sales.
Okay.
They're selling nearly 900,000 phones a day, an iPhone a second. So, and the iPhone X is the largest selling phone for them. So, pretty much all good news for Apple, regardless of what you might read. And, you know, like many things, you can read the numbers in lots of different ways. So,
is that so? They have the
and they are the largest phone, and they have the largest market share, larger than Samsung. Again, so
right.
So,
and the reason people are doing the 10 over the 8?
Probably because it's bigger, you know, bigger number. I think that's what drives most people. It's the fanciest one. It's the newest one. I think that's what drives a lot of people. You know, it's got great features. I have one in front of me. But, you know, if you're looking to buy a phone, you know, and you're an Apple loyalist, you're probably going to look at the higher end phones. So, but, you know, the iPhone 8 has been a good seller for them as well. So
seems to be the one I see the ads for when
the iPhone 8
when certain cell companies are
I think the carriers are advertising the iPhone 8, whereas Apple itself is mostly advertising the iPhone 10.
Okay, and we've seen, is it the Samsung Amos, have they brought the 8 series out, or are we on to 9?
We're working on 9 now, actually. Yeah, the S9 is I forget the date, but it's up and coming. The 8s are out now. That's
okay.
Yep. They streamlined that across. They skipped the 6, so that they could get their business line, the Note line, and the consumer line, the S line, and yeah.
Do you ever do the Note after you had to send yours back?
Yeah, this is a Note.
That's a Note. Yep. Okay. Anything notable?
It's a thing. It's I don't know.
It's a big thing.
It is a big thing. It's a phone.
Okay.
Well, they're all becoming the same anymore, so
ubiquitous, back everything up in the cloud, yep. Services are similar.
Yep.
Okay.
I really have been using using my phone to pay for things lately. Just everywhere, except for the gas pump is about the only place I haven't been able to do it. So I think we talked about this a while back. If it's something you haven't done before and you'd like to get used to, I started out by doing it at vending machines where you had no pressure from people. You had no pressure if it didn't work. You didn't look silly in front of anybody. Start there, see how long it takes, see the noises it makes, the sort of things you got to push. Try that and then move on to the grocery store.
And it's Samsung Pay.
I use Samsung Pay, but there's Apple Pay. There's, what's the other one? There's a third one.
The other ones.
The other ones, right.
All right. Well, we'll maybe have to review that next time.
Android Pay, that's what it is.
Android Pay. Yeah. Fortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my panelists today. Amos, thank you for your time away,
your
hard work at Exigent. Joel, as always, thank you for your Mac expertise. And Jeff Litterick with the Bureau and Peer. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate your time. That is all the time we have. Remind you that SDPB is always there for you with our app or at sdpb.org. Go there and click on Listen. Have a great weekend.